dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. One of the most important battle spaces in that war is our economic security, and few people understand it better, bring more intelligence to bear on the topic than our first guest. He is my friend and colleague at the Center for Security Policy, our senior fellow on the economic warfare portfolio, Kevin Freeman. He is the author of two best-selling books, Secret Weapon, How Economic Terrorism Brought Down the U.S. Stock Market and Why It Can Happen Again, and Game Plan, How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attack. You can find his writings at a terrific blog entitled GlobalEconomicWarfare.com. He is going to be the star of a new show coming up in the Blaze Network shortly, Economic War Room with Kevin Freeman. Kevin, it's good to have you back. Welcome.
Great. Thank you, Frank.
Well, let's talk about that problem that you discuss in Game Plan, the possibility of a cyber economic attack. You've mulled about whether that might have been what was going on with NASDAQ recently. Talk about that, Kevin.
Sure. On July 3rd, about a dozen of the big tech stocks in the world on NASDAQ all of a sudden displayed shortly afternoon, the price of $123.47. So it didn't matter if you were buying Google, if you were buying Apple or Microsoft or Amazon, they were all priced at the exact same price. And what's interesting about that, I noticed it, but what's most interesting is the Wired magazine in the United Kingdom picked up on it, recognized that it could have been an act of economic warfare, referenced back to unrestricted warfare written by the Chinese, and said this is a serious concern and nobody's addressing it.
And in your judgment, is it in fact something that was an act of economic warfare?
Well, the claim is it was a glitch. The problem is it very well could have been and just covered up or ignored or missed entirely. They called it a weapons test, and we've seen these things repeatedly in the markets. They're not coincidences. Somebody is playing with the NASDAQ. They have been for years. We caught the Russians having hacked the NASDAQ several years ago, and you know, I raised this repeatedly with the Defense and Intelligence Establishment, but the Obama team shut it down. They did not want to look at what Russia was doing there.
A subject that is extraordinarily important, and I know will be covered exhaustively in your program, as well as what you've been doing at GlobalEconomicWarfare.com, Kevin Freeman. Let me ask you about another place where there's a high potential for economic warfare against the United States, especially at a moment when tensions are heating up, both the economic and sort of the geostrategic sides, with China. Namely, the Chinese control, essentially monopolistic control of this rare earth minerals market. Talk a bit about the dangers associated with that kind of monopoly and what we had better be doing about it in this country, Kevin.
Well, we call them rare earth minerals. They're not extraordinarily rare. They're found in many places around the world. The problem has been these very specific items are necessary for our iPhones and for our satellites and all sorts of sensitive technological equipment. They're just really rare. I can't even pronounce the names of most of them, minerals. The problem has been is that in the past two decades, we have systematically removed access to them using environmental restrictions, while the Chinese have purchased the ones that were environmentally friendly, or they've developed their own. So they've created a near monopoly, like a 95% control on these things that are essential for economic growth and our national security.
This is the subject that presumably a group called the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, an interagency entity better known as by its acronym, CFIUS, should be examining closely. Is that happening, Kevin, we're watching, for example, efforts by the Chinese, perhaps, and others to acquire access? I remember very vividly a few years ago, through UNICAL, the control of one of the most important of these rare earth mineral mines in the United States, Molycorp. Is this the sort of thing that is getting appropriate attention, as you see it, from national security-minded policymakers in the United States?
No, it's not getting, at least on the rare earth mineral side, we are seeing CFIUS, they're getting a little more proactive in looking at deals, but the number of commercial transactions that take place in the world, sponsored by the Chinese and others that are potential adversaries, has escalated so dramatically, and the desire to get the funds in is so great that CFIUS is overwhelmed. They don't have either the resources or the political will to deal in all these areas. And the rare earth one is particularly sensitive because the Chinese have funded, in some cases, some of the environmental restrictions that are preventing us from competing with them. And it takes a long time to get a new mine going. We had the largest supplier of rare earth minerals in the United States go bankrupt because of pricing issues. And now we see the Chinese are in picking up the assets, and I don't see much attention at all on this.
This is ominous, to say the least. Speaking of CFIUS and what it is or isn't doing, Kevin Freeman, talk about this offering by Saudi Aramco, said to be quite possibly the largest in the history of Wall Street, an IPO. What's going on with that? What are its implications? And in particular, if you could tie into this, not only what the Saudis are doing with their oil business, but what they're getting into in terms of ours.
Well, the Saudis we developed most of the Saudi oil fields with American companies. That became Aramco when it was nationalized by Saudi Arabia. It's been controlled by the kingdom. We've burned once on this. Burned a second time when they participated in the OPEC oil embargo and actually led the OPEC oil embargo. And now they're coming to the American markets because Saudi Arabia is so desperate for cash. They need at least $100 a barrel for their oil in order to meet their domestic spending needs. And they're not getting it. And so they're looking, well, how can we diversify? How can we get cash? Well, we'll offer 5% of this trillion-dollar company on the American market, and we'll get, you know, $25 billion of cash or something that they could then use to make investments and purchase other assets. Well, the Saudis have been aggressively taking over assets in the United States that are energy assets, and we're just a few years since they actually declared war on the U.S. energy industry. They said, we're going to drive fracking and shale technology out of business because we're going to undercut them with price. They created their own problem, they're suffering from it, and now they want us to bail them out. And this deal, I haven't seen the specifics on it, but it is fraught with all kinds of conflicts and problems.
Kevin Freeman, let me ask you very quickly, we've only got about a minute left, but I did want to talk to you about Dunkirk, a new film that you have just reviewed. Tell us about it.
Dunkirk tells the true story of the nearly 400,000 men that were trapped on the Dunkirk beach. The Nazi armies had surrounded them, and it took a miracle. There was a miracle, and Christopher Nolan made a beautiful film that tells the story from the perspective of a few individuals on the beach, in the water, and in the air as that miraculous rescue took place. It doesn't tell all of the history surrounding it. It doesn't tell how King George called for a national day of prayer. It doesn't show Churchill's role and the importance that he had. It just shows a few hours, well, actually a few days in being trapped there. But it's a beautiful film, and it's an important awakening to remember the history, because history repeats itself, and we've forgotten so much of it.
Yeah. Important also to learn about the pieces that were left out of the film, notably the importance of prayer and the role played by Winston Churchill, two of the things that seem to have wound up on the cutting room floor. But I'm looking forward to seeing it myself. Kevin, thank you for your appreciation of it and for all the great work that you do with us. And also at globaleconomicwarfare.com, look for Kevin's terrific new show, Economic War Room with Kevin Freeman, coming to the Blaze Network this summer. Come back to us again soon, Kevin. Meantime, we'll be talking with Russ Dallin straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.